IndieCan Music presents the Toronto Indie Scene with your hosts, Joe Chisholm and Andre Skinner, bringing you an hour of Toronto's best new music and a look behind the scenes with industry insiders and artists.
From Paragon Online, we have Lee Tal and Mike with an urgent deadline for indie artists. But first, Andre, strap on your guitar. Live at IndieCan, it's Canteen Knockout. So everyone's been asking me, Joe, where's your co-host been? What's he been up to? Sounds like you guys have been spending some time in the studio.
He's been putting together a CD release party. And it's a hell of a lot more work than I had anticipated. That's for sure. And a lot more expensive than I anticipated, too.
Welcome to the music business.
So that's where I've been. And here I am on the other side of the mic.
So how about the rest of Canteen Knockout? I want you to tell our audience a little bit about yourselves and how you got into the music business. And why alt country? I mean, I remember I covered you guys. You were doing a gig somewhere, and I said, alt country in Toronto. It's kind of like trying to light a match underwater. Sure, you could figure out a way to do it, but why? It just seems like a hard sell. Country music, Toronto. So why the passion for it?
Well, it basically started out, I guess, for me, years ago. Like, I play the steel, and years ago I just started playing banjo and getting away from the rock thing, because the rock landscape was getting a little bit tedious and boring and a little bit phony, and there's so much reality and truth and honesty in country music. And not to mention, there's a lot of good instruments to pick. So from that standpoint, there's great songs to sing. I got into it through the bluegrass route, playing banjo. Then I got heavy into steel guitar, and then I just started it from there.
Scotty?
Yeah, the lineup's kind of changed over the last few years. The original group, we were definitely more rock-oriented, and then Alex joined, and there was definitely more of a country feel came along. So ever since Alex joined, I would say we've been moving more in that direction.
After the steel was introduced, it was all country almost all the time.
Yeah, you can't hide the steel.
No, and it adds an awesome layer to the band. I mean, we were, like Scott said, more rock in the first year, but it was just basically trying to find what we wanted to do. Did we want to go more rock, or did we want to do country? And it turned out pretty cool. I mean, on the first CD, you can hear that it's a total experimental disc. It goes from basically Americana to experimental blues to straight up rock, you know?
Yeah. Oh, the pedal steel, it puts you in a smaller or maybe even more elite class, because who out there is doing it?
Yeah, there's not a lot of bands
really
in Toronto,
that's
for sure. I mean, that have that kind of sound. You know, we're obviously not going to be going up against all these young emo rockers, which is a good thing, because I found when I was in rock bands, getting into things like North by Northeast and CMW was almost impossible, because, you know, the guy next down at the rehearsal space sounded the same, if not just a little different from you. You have to really friggin' stand out when it comes to playing in just a regular rock band to get into these kind of things and get noticed, right? I find it's been pretty cool with this band that people hear that we got a steel, hear that we've got some influences like Wilco and Sunvolt and like, you know, Johnny Cash, and they're into that kind of
it's
thing.
It's not even necessarily getting noticed, it's just a little more interesting to play
just standing out a bit from the crowd, you know.
So. Yeah, I think as far as stuff like the steel and that is concerned, I think we're actually hearing a lot of it lately. It's pretty prevalent. A lot of bands, especially Canadian ones, there's a lot of good like folk, country acts. There's a whole lot of that going on. There's a real revival I've noticed in the past 5-6 years. And I mean, you don't see a lot of bands with a steel player, but you hear a lot of it still. I mean,
well, let's have another song. How about Back to the Country?
Thank you.
Nice work. Now, oddly enough, I've also joked that Brokeback Mountain has made your music front and foremost. As a matter of fact, you played the Pride Festival this year to the largest audience Canteen Knockout has ever played in front of. How was that?
That was awesome. We felt like pros that day. It was unfortunately short-lived, but yeah, it was cool. I mean, we had roadies and all that stuff, and just a huge crowd. When I got there, the Nylons were getting ready for a sound check, and then we're like, we're going on that stage? I thought it was going to be like a little shrimp stage on this in some corner in a little park somewhere, but it was main stage, and right at Gloucester and Church Street. It was pretty cool. We expected a lot of guys to hit on us, but that didn't happen.
No, it wasn't as crazy as I thought it would be, to be honest with you. I'd never been there before, but I expected more. I definitely saw some things I've never seen before.
But you get a lot of tourists, too, that come down just to check it out. So half the crowd is like just a bunch of yahoos drinking and having fun.
The Nylons didn't like my joke. I told them they should wear Nylons.
Yeah, that's what Jenna told me.
What? Give me this evil look. Yeah. Well, you probably heard that one before, but...
Hey, Jake, this isn't your first drumming gig. Tell us a little bit about your background.
My background, I was in... I'm from Timmins, Ontario. And I was playing around the scene there. I grew up with Shania Twain. She doesn't remember me anymore. I think she still owes me some money for that one gig. Yeah. And I moved to, let's see, London. Played in bands there. Come to Toronto. And... hooked up with a lot of people. I go way back. I'm the oldest guy in the band. So I actually then moved out to Vancouver, where then played out there for a few years and then got hooked up with Doug and the Slugs. Did about 3 years with Doug and the Slugs touring. Played with a female singer out there called Suzanne Gitzy. I was in on the writing on her Dressed in Black album. Got one on the radio. So that was pretty cool. I did cruise ships for 4 years and moved back to Toronto and started looking for gigs in the country vein here in Toronto, and saw an ad by Andre, come down and auditioned and liked the tunes, and that's it, and I joined the band.
Tell us about the CD release party. When's that coming up?
That's coming up pretty quick. Next week, it is September 15th, 2006.
At the Cadillac Lounge.
Cadillac Lounge, yes.
What a fitting environment for you guys.
Yeah, it's a really good club. We decided to go with the Cadillac Lounge because we played there before. Sam's a really good guy who runs the place, takes care of the bands, and makes sure that you leave happy financially and that you get your drinks and everything's cool. And I pitched him the idea, and he was all over it. So, yeah, it'll be a good night. And we have Sean Sage, who's going to open the night. And he does his kind of Dylan-type acoustic rock. And then we have Arthur Renwick, who does his slide blues. And I think he's bringing his whole band. So that should be a really good thing to see. And, yeah, so three bands, a whole good night of music. We're going to do two sets, actually. Two 40-minute sets. And just so we get to mingle a little bit and have t-shirts, obviously CDs for sale, and hopefully some mounted posters and just a whole lot of people. $10 to get in, $15 with the CD.
Sounds like a party. Now, what's it like working with Andre in the studio?
It's not too bad, I guess. You know, he has his moments, but there's not really, we just all kind of come up with our own parts and it just kind of evolves by itself.
I try not to be too much of a hard ass. I don't think I am.
He brings out the tunes. We find the right instruments, the right feel, and we just take it from there.
And as far as recording goes, I'm of the mind, like, my favorite records are, you know, older records, like 60s, 70s records that you can hear. They're just pretty much live off the floor, and maybe do a vocal overdub. That's how I like to do it. Put some backup vocals and things, but the main song is just driven live off the floor.
I knew it. You always imagine yourself at Sun Records.
Oh, all the time, I know. But, it makes for a really good organic sound, and that's what we went for. We didn't sit there and nitpick right down to like a metronome. We need the drums this tight, and that kick drum was off. If it's a good take, let's go for it, build on it. And the tunes turned out pretty good.
What's everyone's favorite song on the album? What do you like most?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't, to be honest with you, I haven't listened to the album that much, start to finish, but...
Because you've been away in Europe.
That's true.
That's right.
That's true.
Yeah, I definitely have a couple favorites on there. I enjoy Balls Out Truckin'. It's a bit of a rocker. And there's a sweet song, Overnight Girl. It's kind of like a slower country type sad song. And we did a great one off the floor with our old combination of players. So back when we had a lead guitar player and I just played Steel, Dad's song, I thought that turned out really cool.
Yeah, that might be my favorite.
Yeah.
When I think about it. Or Tom of My Hands.
I think Balls Out Truckin' is the best.
You like that one, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Cool. I like Mexico. I think Mexico is my top pick. Mexico and Back to the Country. Pretty good tunes. Back to the Country was on the shelf, I don't know, it's like almost 4 years old now, 3 years old at least. And it's just kind of lingering and it had to be done. So yeah, I really like that tune.
Okay, let's close with, how about Navajo Steel?
Who knows, this one might actually sound technically better than the original recording that's going to end up on the record, because we wrote it as we recorded it and it's really kind of spooky and crackly, which was why we kept it. It's very cool.
I can picture being 12 hours into a 24-hour drive for listening to that song, you know?
Yeah. It was very Johnny Cash influence, because he just comes up with these pretty wild stories and they're pretty engaging. So I figured this one, driving off the road in a snowstorm and getting all bloodied up, sounded good.
Yeah. Great subject matter. Okay, let's hear it.
Driving in the night when the radio she broke down, cruising deeper in the dark, 2 a.m. there was no one around. As the eve brought the cold, the clouds started spitting the snow. I couldn't see a thing, I drove right off. Night was gonna bring me home, but the whiskey in the bag proved to be my own friend. Proved to be my own friend. Well, I was covered in blood with the steering wheel around my neck. 20 below when I was gonna ride the check. With a bottle in hand, I thought that I was gonna die. Well, a taillight stopped and God only knows the night was gonna bring the end. But the whiskey in the back,
this is Ben from Mink, and for the best music I've never heard, I listen to the Toronto Indie Scene.
here and stranger to me. 11 Brazilians who just want to go home. Plenty of luggage, what's in it, I wonder? Could it be some fish, maybe your daughter? I'm a busy man with busy things to do. I can't wait, I got places to be. I know the foreign, the first timers, the lovely people, but annoying to me. I've been friendly, I've been waiting all fucking day. Oh,
you drunk, telling me things I like to hear. You must have downed your waiting beer. Babe, I like you better when you're drunk.
Just heard Real Gone. Andre, how'd you like them?
Actually, yeah, they're pretty cool. They got a really diverse sound that last tune. I mean, the content wise is pretty hilarious. But yeah, they're a really good band, and I like their genuine sound and feel. I don't think they should change anything they're doing. They're hit the nail right on the head with what they're doing, and yeah, it might be a possibility to play a show with them sometime.
Yeah, they're from Toronto. I got an email from them the last time I played them. I said they were from Montreal, but my apologies. They're from Toronto, so you'll get a chance to see them sometime soon.
Well, another cool thing about that band is that, like I was saying about the diversity, they have one tune on their EP that sounds just like Patsy Cline.
Oh, I love that tune, yeah.
Yeah, and it just jumps from that rockabilly sound, which I think more bands should experiment into the more like broad sound range as far as you know, songs on their records, songs they play live, as for a lot more interesting listening, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Before that, hot off the press, Pan Out Now, who also have a CD release party coming up on the 16th of September, and they sent me 4 tickets. So here's the deal. Anyone can email me at info@indycan.com and we'll give them away. It's at the Buddha Bar. They're playing with Touch Me, Airborne Plague, The Failures, and Atomic Ravens. So that should be a good show Saturday, September 16th.
And just for the record, that's the Smiling Buddha Bar out at College in Ossington.
And we opened up with The Apollo Effect. That was a song called 11 Brazilians, which we'll dedicate to our friend Danilo from the band Steady Rollers, who's back in Brazil now.
And trying to find a way back to Canada to play with the band.
We need him back here.
We need him back, for sure. We'll get the immigration lawyers on him. But that was a really, really cool tune, and the one thing that really got me was the production. The production quality was top notch.
We're going to hear some more of that CD. I really dig it. I think they did a great job. Good work, boys.
Okay, next up we have the Sadies with a tune called Northumberland West off of their Favorite Colors CD.
Most excellent.
And here they are. Enjoy. Thank you.
Hi, this is Sean Sage, and I hear it first on the Toronto Indie Scene.
Heard Autumn Hill with There's Only Today. In the studio today we have from Paragon Online, Lital Ratman and Michael Evans. Welcome.
How you doing?
Hey.
Glad to have you at IndieCan.
Thanks
for having us.
So let's start with Mike and his indie roots. Can you tell us a little bit about your band and how you got started in music and then how you ended up on the promotion side of things?
I've been in bands for about 12, 13 years now. My first band started when I was 17. Basically, all we could do is battles of the bands, and because that was the only thing that underage bands were really able to do. And we competed in a lot of competitions and won numerous times. And the guys that were running the show always ended up disappearing once we wanted to claim our prize. So anyway, that band folded. I didn't do anything in music performance-wise for years, and I still wanted to be involved, so I started working on a company called Local Music Buzz with a friend of mine, and 3 years ago, I bought him out, and we switched to competitions, trying to figure out a way. Lital actually will tell you a little bit more about how she came on board, but we wanted to find a way to develop a competition that would be credible and sort of give a new name to the stigma of Battles of the Bands in the city, because I know that a lot of musicians seem to get leery of competing in them. And in terms of this band, basically last summer, when my younger brother got kicked out of camp, I was staying with him at my parents' place for a while, and we just started jamming. And we came up with a whole bunch of songs and went into the studio this year, completed a full-length record, put a full band together, and we're still rehearsing. We've done acoustic shows. We've never done a full live show, but we'll have our CD released on November the 18th. And Lital will tell you a little bit more about this this company and how and the prizes and stuff like that.
Okay, so basically Paragon's been around for 3 years. It started as sort of like an incarnation of Local Music Buzz, which was run by Mike and another partner. And I came on board 2 years ago when it was a point that Paragon needed help to organize a charity festival that we did in Mel Assman Square last year for two very good charities in Toronto, Inner City Angels, which is an arts charity for disadvantaged youth, as well as for Variety Village. And so I came on board for that, and I've been on board ever since, and it's really great. And now we're doing the next big competition that we're doing. And yeah, Rogers came on board after the competition too. So they give away cash prizes to the bands that win the competitions.
Don't you have a psychology major or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I do. I have a psychology major from York. I'm also a therapist for children with autism. Mm,
cool. Should help you out dealing with bands and their issues.
It's always good to have a psychology degree. Yeah. You find a lot of stuff out.
Right. You know, so. You can read people then, I guess.
Well, it's like people think that a psychology degree is like having a psychic degree or something. They think I can tell things about them. But
we should have had this interview over the telephone, Andre.
It's not really like that. But it does tell you a lot about human nature, mm-hmm. and sort of like it helps coping with sticky situations.
Right.
So I'm like the diplomat.
Yeah,
try
a lot
to
of
smooth
yeah.
things over. Yeah. People yeah, talk yeah. to me a lot.
A lot of times because I'm sort of the resident music guy, and Lital generally handles the marketing and the promotion end and dealing more with our sponsors, bands will come to me with their issues, and a lot of times I'll just sort of hand them over to her because she's so much better at
nice.
Sort of dealing with those types of things than I am, my patience level. But
so you're admitting to sticking me with all the problems.
I'm basically sticking you with everything.
Yeah, much. Someone's got to be the figurehead, and someone else has to do all the work.
You're being very modest.
No, but honestly, it's been really cool. You know, since we started working together, things have really grown with the business, and we've put together what we're pretty certain is the biggest Battle of the Bands and the most credible Battle of the Bands in this country.
I'm totally psyched. I just want to say that right now. When I first got an email or a MySpace note from you guys, we're doing this Battle of Bands, love to talk to you about it, I immediately went, oh, great. Another event where the bands pay the promoters. Great idea. But this is completely different. You've gone out and you've gotten sponsors. You've got it set up. The prizes seem to be credible. And can you talk to our audience a little bit about what you had to do to get it set up, how you got the sponsors, and what bands are going to win?
Well, in terms of what bands are going to win, that's totally up to our credible panel of industry judges. We've had representatives from pretty much every major Canadian record company sitting on our panel. We've had members of Clear Channel, members of three different major booking agencies on our judging panel. Long McQuaid head office people. So we always sort of beef up our judging panel with all the heavies, as many of the heavies as we can. In terms of the prize, we're giving away, this is the Stage Stars that we're doing right now in October, is October, November, is the biggest prize that we've ever given out. Not only are we giving away $5,000 cash from Rogers Wireless, which consequently gets given out on the night of the finals right away in cash form. And they also get a novelty check that
nice.
So that they
so
can
feel like they won the lottery,
put it in their jam space or something like that. We're also giving them an opportunity to open up for a major signed headliner at charity festival we're holding next summer at Yonge and Dundas Square.
Which is still up to, you're not sure who's going
to Well, it'll be somebody. Last summer we had the lowest of the low.
Right.
Oh, great. We're no longer together, I believe.
I saw them at the Horseshoe, maybe. Yeah. Their last event.
I think that was the last show.
Yeah,
but
I think yeah. So
we're looking 2 to 3 steps up from that. In terms of a headliner, so it'll be somebody definitely reputable.
Not in terms of like how musically talented they are, but what we mean is sort of like in terms of making the place very sort of busy. We
want a good draw.
Well, yeah,
someone exactly. who's going to pack the place.
And also in this point, we're looking for somebody that will.
Most of the lower are amazing.
Yeah,
we're looking for somebody for an act that will be easier to get huge media support on to just. Almost close down the street and pack the place.
Call up Nickelback. They'll do that for
you.
Nah.
That would be,
So
not like that.
No?
No.
So on top of that, they also get 24 hours of recording studio time at a studio called Studio 8. Actually, when we spin our track, you'll hear an example of what that studio does. They're really awesome. So they get a 24-hour recording session there and a graphic design package from our sponsor, Dirty Laundry Design. They've done all kinds of big graphic design work for Spin Magazine and Rolling Stone and stuff like that. So they're kind of all over the place with design. Is that it? Am I forgetting
Did
something?
Did you say the photography?
Oh, no, you can talk about that one.
Okay. And there's also Image Control Photography. They're giving away a photography shoot for the band that wins.
Yeah, it's more than just a photography shoot. They also do, they have a team that does hair and makeup and image consultation.
What about body waxing?
No.
I don't know if they...
I think you have to go to an esthetician.
I think you need an esthetician for that.
Who's the photographer that's going to be doing the photo?
His name is Julian LaFleur.
Yeah. He's awesome.
Image Control Photography.
His website's imagecontrol.ca.
Yeah.
If you want to see, he specializes, and there's a lot of, if you go to our website, paragononline.ca, and check out our photos, there's a string of photos in the middle of the section of one of our singer-songwriter nights. They're all black and white still photos of work that he's done, and they're just amazing.
Now, the singer-songwriter nights that you just mentioned, is that part of competition, or is this just something you set up?
Well, singer-songwriter nights are a little bit different. They're like a one-time thing where singer-songwriters gather together. They're at Holy Joe's. They go to, like, we usually do it at Holy Joe's, and they win. Like last time, we gave away $500.
That's good.
And it's just sort of people up there with their acoustic guitar. It's really fun, actually.
And I think 20 hours of studio time as well.
Yeah.
That's great.
The thing with there are a lot of solo artists that kind of want to stick to it that way and don't really put a full band together, and it's not really fair to take that away from them. We would want to give them something, but to enter somebody like that in a band competition, just with the sheer level of the volume of the rock bands, they would sort of get blown off the stage. So this kind of gives the singer-songwriters a chance to get out there and be part of a credible competition that's more suited to a one person kind of thing than a whole band dynamic.
Okay, now, just for the critics in the audience, what's in it for the promoter? What's in it for you guys?
Well, I think anybody that has a job has to pay their bills and has to pay the rent, and that's what's in it for us. Like any other job.
The way,
I don't think we should be working for free either.
The way we look at it is is that even if a band enters our competition, first of all, any band that enters our competition gets the rules straight. They know what they're getting into right away, so they have a choice on the phone to say, "Now this isn't for me," or "Let's go for it." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the thing about this is they know that even if they don't win, but they bring some people out and they get a decent set time, because that's the only thing we use ticket sales for, is to determine the set order of the bands, because we'll have 8 or 9 bands per night. They know that if they get a good set time, not only are they going to get a chance to play to probably more people than they've ever played for in one of their own shows, but they're also going to get a chance to play for major record company people that, I know, Joe, I think you had mentioned you're in an indie band as well. I'm sure that indie bands often speak to industry people, record company people, have relationships. They say they're going to come out and see a show, and then you get to the show, they never show up, or the show gets bumped and they have to leave. So this is an opportunity for bands to play to some of these people where they're stuck because they're judging. They're sitting
on
the panel.
They
can't leave. So even if it's just an opportunity for the band to sort of give their CD or their one-off or their demo to these people and build a relationship where they can say, well, this is an example of what we're doing. We're playing at the Horseshoe next week. Do you want to come check us out?
Mm-hmm.
There's that relationship already built. And in this industry, that's priceless.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think one of the things that has to happen in the indie industry in Canada is for the self-image of indie bands to come up a little bit and the attitude people have about them. I mean, indie music, Canadian indie music is popular all over the world. People go out of their way to find it and listen to it and consume it. But we have this, apologetic, it's only indie kind of attitude. And something like this, I think, is really going to help elevate the image of indie music and the appeal of indie music.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, MySpace makes so many, like, people be able to listen to free music all over the world, and it makes a lot of people that wouldn't necessarily had like an indie band as their favorite band have like indie bands. I think my top bands right now are indie. Autumn Hill is one of them, and then we work with this band named Troll, and Mike's brothers constantly hit their MySpace. I mean, you don't like, and Troll won the last Paragon competition as well, and they're amazing. And FNA, like my favorite bands right now, I have to say, are indie, and I totally agree with you. There really isn't enough credibility given to independent music. Just because it's independent doesn't mean that you have to turn your nose up at it. Mm-hmm. If anything, it makes it like you can almost say that it has been skewed by somebody else's opinion and warped to sell. You know, it's sort of like it's raw. And I like it.
It's funny, too, because just that you mentioned that, I don't know how much time we have, but when you mentioned sort of the apologetic nature of the indie band and kind of like that whole stigma that a band is unsigned, I was working on a track-by-track blog for... I've never blogged before. It's not really a thing that I'm into, but I figured I would... Our MySpace is getting hit pretty heavily right now for the band, so I thought I would do a track-by-track as if we were... you know, a major signed band that a lot of people really cared about. And you read it and you look at it and it's pretty ambitious because I'm sort of doing the spin like there's a lot of people that are actually picking up on this. But I think that if more indie bands took their careers and their you know, made a statement in their band that they are going to make it, I think that really impresses the industry and impresses people out there. You know, when bands take getting a crowd seriously, building a grassroots fan base seriously, they get an industry representative out to their show and they see people going nuts for them. Even if they've had to spend 2 months trying to push all the people they know to come out and see their shows, that's gradually how you build something like that. And I think that the community just sort of needs to get it together and realize that that's what they want to do for the rest of their lives, so why not push it as hard as they can?
I just want to know, what kind of sound are we talking about for bands that want to enter this contest?
Well, we've had so many ranges. I mean, right. I don't know how you'd even categorize Troll. We'll give you guys a CD because they're excellent. They're kind of like rockabilly meets, like...
I describe them as...
Primus.
Chris Isaak meets Primus meets Bob Dylan in hell.
Right.
in a dumpster somewhere from hell.
It's the weirdest sound, and they won. And then, you know, you get FNA, which is like your standard sort of like heavier rock.
Mm-hmm.
And then
melodic heavy rock.
Heavy rock, exactly. And then we had a band, the first band that won like the big Rogers competitions. Mm-hmm. Their name was Ashley. And they're sort of like, they sound a lot like the Strokes. And they're more like... How would you describe that scene?
I don't know. They're the sort of a garage rock revival, Franz Ferdinand, Strokes. I mean, unfortunately, a lot of those bands now are kind of not having as much success with their recent albums as their first ones. But I mean, that these guys were awesome, and they really deserved to win. They had that thing going, and they looked like rock stars.
Right.
So. And they acted like rock stars. Mm-hmm. So we've had so many different. Demographics, because we cater towards the 19 plus demographic as opposed mm-hmm. to the underage demographic that a lot of the other companies are, where you'll find most of the underage bands are really loud metal and sort of that screamo kind of noise rock Alexis on Fire influence type stuff. Right. With our bands, because you're dealing with a lot of older guys, you'll have a lot more ranges of influences, a lot more lighter stuff, a lot of heavy stuff too. But it's all good. I mean, we've had people from the industry come up to us and compliment us at the end of our shows and say that's the best lineup of bands in one night that they've ever seen.
Because the bands that advance are always sort of judged based on their musical ability. So it doesn't really matter what your style is.
Right. As long as you're good, as long as you've got good showmanship, that's where
it's
at.
Yeah, the judges like you.
Our finals, like, I mean, I think I mentioned to Joe about possibly having you guys, you know, out to judge a finals. But if you want to see some of the best indie bands you'll ever see, our finals usually have them, and there's like 9 or 10 of them in one night, and the judges are sweating because they just don't know what they're gonna do, and it's tense. It's real because they know that whoever they're gonna be giving that prize to is gonna be getting like a prize package worth about $15,000, including $5,000 cash. Mm-hmm. So for a band, you know, these bands are usually the bands that are doing this full time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So. You know, that type of money to put in a band bank account is like, it's enormous.
It's gold. Absolutely. Yeah, especially if they want to do a tour or anything like that.
It could completely pay off the overdraft.
That's right.
So the judges are if they commit to it, you know, it's a tough position. But they make a few bands very, very happy, and they're all very well deserving of what they get. So
that's cool. What do bands have to do to enter the competition? What's the deadline and what's the process for entering?
Sure. So how it works is you have to go to paragononline.ca. I think the www is obsolete at this point. And you click on Stage Stars. Mm-hmm. You scroll down to the bottom. And then you click on Sign Up. You fill in your information. And that's basically it. But if you don't have a MySpace with an MP3 or a website with an MP3, you have to send us an MP3 of your music. Because it doesn't matter what genre you are. Everybody can apply. But with this Paragon, we're trying to get bands from the same genres to compete on the same nights.
Right.
Just so the judges don't go from here to there. Like, it's a new thing we're trying to keep bands from like similar genres.
So you're not going to have like roots and pop punk or something like that.
As far as the trickle down, like how many nights does it start with and how many bands?
There's 3 nights. Mm-hmm. Those are the preliminaries. Mm-hmm. That's for the Stage Star. That's all. Like that's 19 plus. Mm-hmm. There's 3 nights, and there's about 27 bands.
Right.
And then
9 bands a night. Yeah.
Yeah, and then the end, like at the finals, there's about 8 bands that compete.
All right. Well, we should wrap it up.
Yeah. I mean, you've got a nightmare just editing that down to the best 10 minutes.
So, thank you guys for coming down.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, and now I'm all excited about coming and checking out your showcases.
Well, Andre, the rest of the band got to go home, and you're to stay back here. Glad to have you back in the seat as co-host.
And I will say it feels great to be back. It was a little bit of a hiatus throughout my move, and things have been a little hairy because, you know, CD release party, all this stuff, so much to do. Things are starting to settle down a bit, and I definitely want to be back in the studio, either here or at Redline, to do more co-hosting, because it is a lot of fun. We meet some excellent musicians and great industry insiders, so it feels awesome to be back as a co-host, and I've been listening to all the other shows that you put together, so yeah, good work, and we'll, you know, just keep it plugging.
And thanks to you, the listeners. The listenership just keeps growing and growing. It's because you're telling someone and they're telling someone, and you don't know how much our bands really appreciate your support. So thanks a million. Andre, let's finish the show with one more off of your brand new CD. What song are we going to hear?
Well, this is the heaviest tune on the record, and we're going to go out with a bang. This is Balls Out Truckin'.
Rockin'.
Got the stereo on and I'm rolling down the road. Got a 420 under the hood. Hood starts shaking and I'm hot love making with a girl holding on to me. I go and fly off the wheel and the tires start to squeal. It's when I hear the sirens after me. I pull a bottle out the back, swig it up, throw it back. Tell my girl, hold on to your feet. And I'm balls out.
trucking when my girl starts bucking down the highway and I'm feeling alright. When I'm balls out trucking and my girl starts bucking down the highway and I'm feeling alright, alright. Down Highway 55 doing 145, the truck's about to fall apart. The cops waving, pull it over with no license, it's over. I'd be a goner, so I keep trucking on. I hit the next dirt road where nobody goes, but I tell you, boy, I know the track. With a fork in the road and two ways to go, I hit the brakes as hard as I can. Then I'm balls out trucking when my girl starts bucking down the highway and I'm feeling alright. And I'm balls out trucking when my girl starts bucking down the highway. I pull my truck around, hit the gas to the ground, and hightail it to higher ground. Say, we're the hell out of here, let's pick up some beer and get home before there's more cops in the rail. Well, I got off this time without paying a dime, till I'm balls out trucking next time. And I'm balls out trucking when my girl starts fucking down the highway and I'm feeling alright. And I'm balls out trucking when my girl starts fucking down the highway. Down the highway and I'm feeling alright. And I'm balls out trucking when my girl starts bucking down the highway and I'm feeling alright. And I'm balls out trucking when my girl starts bucking, oh yeah. And I'm balls out trucking when my girl starts bucking, oh.
For more information on the artists featured on today's show, visit IndieCan.com.